Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
The number of Irish people aged 25 to 29 living at home with their parents grew at one of the highest rates in Europe over the last decade. Almost half of them in that age bracket are living at home. And that's gone up by about 10% over that period of time. And the report by the EU agency Eurofund showed that many young Irish adults have been forced to move home after the recession and are now part of what's called the boomerang generation. So are you in the boomerang generation? Did you move out and then move back? Or indeed, were you never able to move out at all because that didn't work out for you? And are high rents and unaffordable housing keeping our young people living at home? And what does that mean for their lives? If you are young and you're 29, you're 30 and you're living at home with your mum and dad, how does that feel? Does it feel like too many adults, too many Indians and chiefs and whatever? Like, is there too many of you in the house? And if your kids are still there and you are hoping to get a bit of space and free time and you're still making dinners and things, is that a problem for those who are allowing their adult children, who have no choice clearly, to stay at home? What does it mean? And will it actually have a knock-on effect on a generation of Irish people? Who will they grow up if they always live at home forever? How does it all work? 53106 is the text line. And Aisling is on the line. Aisling, what's your current situation?
Hi, Kira. Nice to be on the show. It's great.
How are you?
Hiya. So I have three. They're between 20 and 27. So two are still in college. One is now working. They're all living at home with me. The 27-year-old would like to move out, has wanted to move out, did come back. You know, she was one of the boomerangs. She went off and did some stuff, came back, and she went back to study for a while. And since then, she hasn't been able to move out. She has a job, and she just can't afford to move out. We live in Dublin, so, you know, it sort of makes sense that, you know, she stays at home. I don't want to have to, you know, help her out on financing an exorbitant rent when, you know, she's a comfortable room at home. But it does mean that she doesn't have her freedom, her independence. You know, she has a boyfriend. He comes over sometimes. She goes to him, but he lives at home as well. And they're stuck. Like, they can't afford to move out and get a place on their own. So,
and, you know, and that's, not to be prurient, and I genuinely mean this, not to be prurient, but just like, so he comes and stays in your house in her room, and she goes and stays in his. There's something a bit infantile about it, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? My eldest is 20. I see this coming down the line for me too, so I don't mean it in a judgmental way, but what can you or they do?
Absolutely nothing right now. Absolutely nothing. So the whole point is now is that my eldest is looking at moving out of the country and going and living somewhere else where it's affordable. She's literally looking anywhere in the world that she can go and make a fair enough salary. I mean, she's not looking for millions here. She's looking for an affordable lifestyle and somewhere where she can live in an affordable apartment and have a
so
normal
she wants
life, you know, go out.
Independence, and, but she can't achieve independence in Dublin as such. So she'll move to, doesn't matter, London, Edinburgh,
anywhere.
Paris, America, somewhere.
Yeah. Anywhere.
Right.
I mean, she's looking at like South Korea. You know, she'll go anywhere.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, it's.
You sound about 26 yourself, Aisling. How does it affect you,
I
though,
have
having.
I'm about 26, so.
All right. Okay. Yeah. How does it affect you, though, having three? I mean, 20 is your youngest, but it's my eldest is 20. That's an adult. So you have three adult children living at home who in a different time, in a different era, they'd have been off working in mines or something. So what, like, how does the dynamic work at home for you? I mean, you can't be mammy to adults, really.
No, you can't, but you still end up being so because, you know, I've got my sense of how I'd like the house to be, you know, and, you know, I just feel that they don't, because they're not living in their own houses, they're not keeping the spaces tidy as I'd like, you know, and, you know, if they were listening here, they'd be rolling their eyes because I do this all the time. I come home and the first thing I do is say, you didn't wash that pot. You know,
yeah, no, that's fair.
You know,
who didn't empty the dishwasher? That's my rant every day.
Or the dishwasher, there's another one, or walk the dogs or whatever it is. And they just don't do it. They're waiting for me to come home and issue instructions. And, you know, they are old enough to live on their own. They have, two of them have lived on their own and come back. So, you know, my son's come back. He was studying abroad. He came back and, you know, he had to look after his own space. Now I'm sort of there and saying, stepping in and doing it because I can't stand to see it not being done. And I like to have, I'm not a freak or anything, but I do like
to have a nice living
space that's not crowded. Yeah. And then the noise and, you know, people are in and out all the time. And, you know, look, I love them. I'm fine with it. I've always had loads of kids. I mean, you're probably the same yourself, having your kids coming in with their friends and all that.
Yeah.
It's a noisy household. But at this stage, they're not children. They're adults. And, you know, they want to have, you know, adult dinners and invite friends over and have, you know, wine and beer and, you know, do the whole thing. And I'm sort of sent to my bedroom.
Does it curb your life is what I was really going to ask you. Never mind their lives. What about your life? Because Aisling, you know, you're in your something late 40s, early 50s or something like this. You're young. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And I don't know your situation, but I presume you'd like a life.
Yes. No, it doesn't really stop me from doing whatever it is I want to do. If I'm having friends over, I'll have the friends over and the others just go somewhere else or stay out of the way or join in, you know, depending on who's coming over. So it doesn't really stop me. It's just more, I feel sorry for them. I'm also worried, I suppose, one of the points I said to the researcher was I'm worried they're all going to move away and that, you know, 2, 3, 4 years from now, my three kids are going to be out of the country, having been educated in Ireland and, you know, whatever.
And they'll go away and they'll put down roots somewhere else and settle
somewhere
there.
Somewhere else, yeah. And then when I am at the age where I'm retired and I want to, you know, spend time with them, you know, more time with them and, you know, hopefully grandchildren and that kind of thing. Where's that going to leave, you know, myself and my husband? We're going to have to travel around the world to, you know, see them and they'll be paying their taxes somewhere else. They won't be paying them in Ireland either. And so
are
what
you
about pensions?
Angry?
You know, this has a knock-on effect.
Aisling, are you angry that your children are being reared for export? A bit like, you know, that old De Valera quote, no longer will our cattle be reared for export. No longer will our children be reared. Your children are finding it hard to live here and therefore may go away purely for pragmatic reasons. Does that bother you?
Yeah. It does. And you know what? It's history repeating itself because I left in the 80s. Like I you know, I left school in the 80s. I went and I lived in France. I lived in France for 15 years before I came back. And it was, I came back at the right time where I could still afford to buy a house here and, you know, there was full employment, so I got a job easily enough and that kind of thing. But I had to leave Ireland for not for the same reasons, because housing was probably more affordable and more abundant in the 80s, but you were paying high taxes and there was, what, 20% unemployment. So, you know, but this is like history repeating itself. I'm going to be waving goodbye to my kids, you know.
The upshot was the same. Houses were cheaper, but nobody had any work. So irrespective, it was still, we still had no way forward. No, I hear you. I feel the same. I do feel the same. I see my kids growing up, but I'm sort of hoping, and it's perhaps a naive hope, that because they're a bit younger, that maybe by the time they get to launch, something will have given somewhere.
Yeah.
And
well,
be
I hope
a bit
for
easier,
my 20-year-old, that'll be the case. But
yeah. Look, thank you for speaking. Best of luck with your kids. And I hear what you're saying. And I think you probably are reflective of an awful lot of people. So thank you for that. 53106 is the text line, guys. We're talking about the fact that half of young Irish adults, the under 30s, are living at home, which is one of the highest in Europe. And indeed, it has rocketed. It has accelerated, unsurprisingly, in the last decade. I'm asking, what's your situation? Are you one of those young people living at home with your parents or with your mum or with your dad or what have you? Or are you somebody whose kids are at home with you? And how does that affect all your lives? The parents' lives, the kids' lives? Who, you know, what does that look like and feel like? And I bet you it's people older than 32. There are 35-year-olds and 40-year-olds probably living at home as well for the exact same reasons. Annette is on the line in Dublin. Annette, is your daughter still at home with you?
Hi, Ciara. She is indeed.
How
and
are
I
you?
I can totally relate to everything that last caller said. I mean, it could have been myself speaking, really. Yeah, she's living at home. She's 25. She has a boyfriend. He's 25. Both of them are qualified. She's a qualified social worker, spent 4 years in Trinity. And here she is now living at home with very little prospects of being able to move out. She wouldn't even mind renting for a while, but just finding somewhere that she can rent that's within reason, you know, is just impossible. They're earning reasonably good wages for their age. And they just don't have anywhere to go where they have any privacy, you know, where they can learn to grow up and be independent, because as you quite rightly pointed out, it's very difficult for both her as an adult child living at home and me as a mammy. I still see her as my daughter, and to try and change that dynamic from parent child to parent adult child, where you've got younger children as well in the house, is very, very difficult. And probably more so for her than us. We just carry on. I mean, when I was her age, I was out of home for almost 7 years. You know, at that time, you moved out 17, so you, 18.
You got out of your house around 18?
Yes, well, you had to. I lived in Galway. I'm from Galway. So, I had to come up to Dublin, go to college, work my way through college, and then find a job, settle down, and make a life for myself. And what really annoys me, and I suppose it came to the fore during the election, is all of these people who are on housing lists who don't want to move away from their parents because, you know, oh, they don't want this and they don't want that. I had to move. I had to make a life and build a community for myself and for my new family. And that's the reality. And unfortunately, my daughter is probably going to have to do the same thing. And that does hurt because I would love to have her living close by. I would love to have my grandchildren in years to come that I could see, you know, every day, every second.
It's an interesting conundrum, that one, because for forever, rural families have seen their children move away
to get work. Yeah.
So if you live in Donegal or Galway or anywhere like that, your children are very unlikely to live next door to you. They will move to Dublin or Galway or Cork or wherever there's work and off they'll go. And now we're seeing the same thing. Dublin people are a bit shocked that their children have to do it because it's too expensive to live in Dublin. But it's true.
And I can understand that it is difficult. You know, it is difficult.
But you're right that to think you should be able to live two streets from your parents may end up being only people on the housing lists will be able to afford to do that, because people who
shocking.
Are actually buying private accommodation have no chance at all of doing that.
That's absolutely shocking. You know, and I had a situation where my sister-in-law's sister bought a house. She didn't buy a house. She got a house on the social housing list the same time as I bought my house here. And she started comparing her social house to my €2,500 a month mortgage that I was paying. And I remember thinking, you're living exactly that, two streets from her mother. I'm here in Dublin. You know, my mother's down in Galway, needs my help more than ever now. And I'm paying through the nose and you're comparing.
It's interesting what you're saying, though, because if the state is doing, if we're building a society rather than an economy, do we not kind of want to facilitate people who are on the social housing list live and grow in communities in that kind of way? Do you know what I mean?
Ideally, you'd have liked
to have had the option. And ideally, maybe, you know, I wouldn't have been able to afford to buy a house near my parents when I bought my first house. ideally, those would have been nice options for people. And when the government is sort of orchestrating it, do we not want them to do the best by people? Or do you feel hard done by?
I wouldn't change my life for 1 minute. And I do think that there are benefits in moving away from your family and standing on your own 2 feet and gaining that independence and all that goes with it. You know, it's just therein then we build another crisis where you've got older people who are living. My mother lives in rural Galway. There's nobody nearby now to look after her. And she needs looking after at this point. She's almost at the stage where she can't drive anymore. It swings and roundabouts and there's pros and cons.
I guess that's what I was asking about the social housing situation, because now either your mother might have to come and live with you or she might have to go to a nursing home, you know, in the medium term, or you'll be traipsing to and from, commuting across the country twice a week or whatever. So moving away creates difficulty, and ideally, if we could live closer to our families, that would be a good thing. So maybe that's why the social housing waiting list tries to facilitate that, because there are benefits from it.
There are benefits from it, but I do believe that those people should be able to that the people who are on social housing, it shouldn't be for nothing. You know, when you give something for nothing, that's how it's treated. It's devalued and it causes other problems such as antisocial behaviour.
I can see the text line already. Annette, you know the people in social housing, they do pay rent.
Some of them do, absolutely, yes. No, absolutely. And I'm not at all thinking, you know, that they shouldn't be on that list or anything like that. It's just sometimes I think we're focusing a huge amount on that side of things rather than people who are coming out of college, who are willing to contribute to our economy.
I think the squeezed middle do feel that. I think that they feel that people who are rich can do what they like because sure they have the ability to do what they like because they're rich, and maybe people who are worse off get a certain amount of supports put around them. But there are people in the middle who get very little, who do a lot of work and who pay a lot of tax and who are a bit like your daughter, are kind of stymied, unable to move forward or backwards sort of thing. Does it affect the dynamic for you? Your daughter is there, and obviously, exactly like you, when I was your daughter's age, I was living with my boyfriend, and you know, you'd come home and you'd make dinners and you'd make your own decisions, and there was no mammy or daddy doing things for you, and that's possibly a good thing, but and that's what's going on for her. But for you, does it affect you having a load of, you know, a young couple in your house half the time?
You know what? I enjoy when they do come round. I really do. I do think it affects them more than us. It doesn't really affect me, because I know at some point I'm going to wish that they were here more often, you know, or I hope we get to that stage. But I do think it affects the younger people more so. But it can have an effect on myself, my husband, and then we have a younger son as well, you know, and he's seen. I suppose we're trying to treat one child one way and one another way, you know, and there's all of that cross dynamic going on.
How old is the younger one?
13. So we had them at two ends of the spectrum, you know, but you end up where, you know, he's kind of her little brother and they're arguing like brother and sister, but she's still an adult. So,
I have a 20-year-old and a 10-year-old.
I've
other ones in the middle, but I had great family planning, Annette. I have primary school, secondary school and university. Do you know what I mean? Call yourself a doctor, Kelly. Yeah. Look, thank you for speaking to me. I totally sympathise with all the people in this position. 53106. We've heard from two parents about their adult children living at home, and they're in relationships and they're trying to juggle, I suppose, privacy issues and all of that. But what is it if you're the person, if you're the 25-year-old or the 29-year-old or the 35-year-old living at home with your parents? Is that difficult? Does it trap you in the fact that you like mammy still doing your ironing and making your dinners on the one hand, because who wouldn't? But also you do recognise that actually you're in a kind of a golden mouse trap, aren't you? Because you're getting a certain benefit from being there. But equally, you're not on your own two feet and it feels a bit strange. 53106, I'd love to know what people think. Someone has texted, Kira, charge your adult children a quarter of their income as rent and tell them to work hard and save hard for 1 year. Tell them you will match whatever they manage to save in that 1 year by way of helping them get a deposit together for a house, and just give them back their own money that you have been charging for rent, which should be more than what they have managed to save themselves. And that's from Dan. Yeah, I don't know how many people now can get a deposit in 1 year together, because deposits are a lot. Kira, I'm 39. I'm a single mom to a 14-year-old girl, and we live with my parents, who both recently turned 60. For health reasons, I can't live on my own, but it is wonderful bringing my daughter up with her grandparents. I'm so lucky to have them all, and we have a lovely life. My parents are a massive help to me, and I negotiate my life with chronic health condition, and I can't even imagine not living with them. Yeah, that's three generations under the one roof. And another one says, Kira, why doesn't the daughter of that girl rent a room? There are rooms available for €500 per month on Daft. They must be able to afford that if they are working. Yeah, but you see, that could be miles away from where they live, miles away from their friends, miles away from their job, and with people that they don't know. Whereas this is, you know, home. 53106. Something is changing and shifting, and I would love to know what people think.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Earlier on the programme, we discussed the fact that half of Irish people under the age of 30 are living at home with their parents. They're tucked up age 29 and 30 with mammy and daddy on the couch watching The Late Late of a Friday night. Is that you? I'd love to hear from you if it is. Or indeed, is that you who are living with your adult children, and how do you find it? I'd love to hear about that as well. And Tig is on the line. Tig, what do you make of this story? What's your own situation?
Well, Kira, I think what's most interesting about the whole about this crisis is that the impact is has on not just individuals but on whole families. If you take a lot of crises that are happening around us in society, whether not crises but things that people vote on, taxation, welfare, prescription charges, people tend to vote as individuals on things that affect them. But this has a much broader impact. It affects whole families in a very profound way, and I think politicians haven't really accounted for that, and we saw that at the last election.
Okay, I agree with you, and it is affecting the dynamic of family life and family living. But I presume those within the families are still voting as individuals and all that kind of stuff. Do you affected by it yourself?
I'm lucky myself in that I'm not, but like you had, I think it was your guest Aisling on earlier. She has three adult children living at home. Yeah. I'm 32. A lot of my friends are in the very same situation. And if you think about five or six people, adults, all of voting age, sitting around in the living room on a weekend night, all kind of peed off at each other because they're all confined into this space. That's something that really affects people, and they're talking about it, and they tend to kind of. It's not like a typical problem. It's not like a typical voting issue. It's much broader than that, and I think that's why it's just going to grow and grow, and it's going to be.
I see what you're saying. That perhaps people, it won't get addressed because it's sort of like a cobweb of issues as such, and as a consequence, yeah. Maybe. But I mean, I do think housing was definitely one of the driving forces of I suppose Fine Gael's electoral downfall. I think people do. It isn't just about social housing. It's about affordable housing. It's about generation rent. People are concerned about the fact that, I mean, my eldest now is 20, and in a few years' time he'll want to go somewhere, but I'm not sure where he's going to go. I mean, so I'm worried about it.
Yeah, and you also have this whole other side to it, where in recent years there seems to be this kind of pushback, I don't know if that's the right word, against social housing. This kind of social housing has become almost stigmatized, and you had somebody on earlier talking about people looking for free handouts and housing. I mean, this is kind of new to our discourse, where there was a time in Ireland where, I'm sure you're the same, you know, lots of people who came from social housing backgrounds, and it wasn't this kind of them versus us mentality. There's nothing wrong with social housing, and I think that's also adding to it, this kind of sense that people are looking for something for nothing. That's also driving the problem.
Do you know why I think, in fairness to that listener, I think she was more just kind of, she is representative perhaps of a squeezed middle who feel that they, do you know what I mean? When people feel hard done by themselves, they often look and kind of go, somebody else has it easier than me.
Absolutely.
Somebody else is in a house a bit like my house, but they're paying, you know, a small rent and I'm paying a massive mortgage, and I feel, why me? You know, so I think there is a, you know, I don't think that listener was a bad person or who was kind of us and them.
No,
she was
not, I think, under
pressure herself.
Absolutely, yeah. But these things are all connected, of course. I mean, people who are looking to get onto the housing market or get onto the property ladder to buy their own homes, private homes, I mean, they would also benefit from social housing, and it would act as a sort of release valve, if you know what I mean, if there was some sort of more government intervention in the market.
Richard Boyd,
we all benefit from this.
Richard Boyd Barrett has made some very good points at times about housing, and he has said that actually what we need is social and affordable housing, and that in many European countries they provide affordable housing and people pay according to their ability to pay. So you have mixed developments, apartment blocks, for example, and in it there'll be a doctor and there'll be somebody possibly who's unemployed. Yes. They'll just be paying different rents, but everyone lives in these communities because they're good quality accommodation, but they're open to people who have high income as well. They just pay more money.
That's right. And I think that's also very important, just from a social point of view, that we all live in communities that are representative of the community, that we're not sort of siphoned off into particular areas. You have that to some extent here with the minimum requirements for social housing in private developments, but I think that's certainly something that we should absolutely pursue and not have people into, you know, social housing versus private housing. I heard Richard Boyd Barrett on Pat Kenny earlier. He made a really good contribution, but the most alarming thing out of that interview for me was I think Pat Kenny said that half of all the purchases of apartments last year were by institutional investors. Like, that's crazy.
I think it's higher than that, actually.
Was it really?
Yes, yes, there are. But you see, for years we said, we have too many accidental landlords with one or two properties. What we want is the German model of the big pension funds owning all our apartments, and then they are professional landlords. We kind of almost emulated that here, and now we have it, or it's developing, and we hate that as well. Like, be careful what you wish for.
I don't think people really ever meant that they wanted that. I think people like to own their own homes. I think that's the bottom line.
We certainly have a fundamental cultural deep-seated fear of landlords in this country, for sure. Look, thank you for that, Tig. Thanks for chatting to me. Loads of stuff coming in. 53106 is the text line. We're talking about the fact that half of young Irish adults under the age of 30 live at home with their parents or their parent. Kira, I moved out in my mid-20s with my boyfriend, who's now my husband, and we rented in a house share before getting our old place. Why isn't that an option for young adults? Thanks, Catherine. Catherine, the rents are ferociously high, and if you are paying thousands in rent every month in a house share, it's very difficult to buy anything. So people live at home to try and save a bit of money, I think, largely. Rents, we've never seen this level of rent, the cost of rent, I don't think, in this country. I did something similar to you, but I think it is different now. Another one, Kira, about housing. I see my young professional children aged 25 and 28 and they can't save according to themselves. Why is this? It's their holiday schedule starting in February, a long weekend in Iceland. In May, a 5-day break in Barcelona, then summer holidays in 2 weeks, Greek island hopping, London at Halloween, plus music concerts during the year, etc, etc. I could go on and on. Give me a break. It's not that they won't, it's that they won't save, not that they can't save. They are, this is her children she's talking about, the snowflake generation. They have got everything too easy. From a frustrated tax-paying mother in my late 50s. Goodness me. The only thing I would say, I'm going to defend the millennial generation and say this, perhaps they spend that money because buying a house is so far out of their reach and they might as well spend their disposable income because they aren't able to get anywhere near the price of a house. Could that be it? 53106. And Margaret's on the line in Dublin. Margaret, do you have an adult daughter at home? Is that right?
I have an adult daughter who actually did live with me for a couple of years after rents became so excessive that she had no choice but to move home. But
she's now, was a boomerang.
Yeah, she's now living in London and, you know, has a good job and everything in London. But her rent in London is substantially less than the rent would be here on a similar property. And I stagger at that because, you know, all my life, London was the place that was really expensive. And yeah, now here we are. And Dublin is. And funny thing is, when this came on this morning, I was caught. Do you know, I actually spoke to Kira 2 years ago about this when my daughter was living with me. And here we are 2 years later and nothing has changed except the problem is probably getting worse. In that, yeah, 2 years ago, my daughter was 30, she's now 32.
And does that bother you, Margaret, that your daughter now, and it's not like we haven't had generations of Irish people emigrating, because we have, but does it bother you? Did you hope for different for her, that she could be closer to home, that so you'd be able to see more of her and that kind of thing? Like,
absolutely.
Do you dislike the fact that she had to go to London?
Yeah, I do, and she dislikes it. But the reality, like, I only have one child, and my one child is living in London. Now, I know people will say it was only a plane ride away. Well, that's all fine and dandy if you have the money to be flying over and back, yeah, all the time. But, you know, in reality, like, she has a degree, she has a master's degree, she has a postgrad, and yet a job here would not give her the income that she would require to either A, buy a house, or B, rent somewhere, or do both in parallel. And there's something wrong with that system.
Yeah. Your daughter with a master's degree can't afford to live in Dublin.
Can't afford to live in Dublin. And her fiancé is the very same. He has a master's degree. And they're both living in London.
Okay. So that says something. So two, yeah, incomes would be coming into that house, both at master's level. And no, it's still beyond affordability. You'd wonder how anybody with a normal job, anybody who works in a shop, in retail or in hospitality or a hairdresser or people who are on moderate incomes, how the hell are they ever going to afford anything?
I absolutely don't know how they do it. And, you know, I mean, whatever about, she's lucky she was able to come home and live with us. But that in itself is actually very difficult because she found that emotionally very difficult. You know, she'd moved out, she'd had her own life, and then, yeah, she had to come home, and suddenly we were going, where are you, and what time are you going to be home at?
Yes.
And when she's
and
not
you can't
here,
help
I don't
yourselves.
Even think about it. No.
I know.
When she's not here, I don't even think about, oh, she's on a night out, how's she getting home? Because she's not living, yeah, with me. But, you know, and not just that, there's also the other thing is that I reverted to being mommy, and she reverted to being five. In that, you know, I was running around picking up her clothes off the floor and washing them and all of that sort of stuff.
So it's not good for either of
it's
you.
Not
that
good for anybody.
Dynamic.
No, it's not good for anybody. And, you know, I mean, I know of a number of people whose adult children are living with them, and they then have children as well. So the grandchildren are living with them, and for the same reason, either the children are trying to save to get a deposit together because they can't save and pay rent, or that they simply can't afford to do either, and they're living
attic. You've nailed the dynamic. I did live at home for a while, for about a year, 13 months, I think it was, as an adult with two of my kids. And it was because we had builders in renovating a house. Mm. And what was supposed to take 9 weeks took 13 months. And it was an absolute nightmare. But I lived at home with my recently widowed mother for that period of time.
Yeah.
Good God, it was a nightmare. It was dreadful.
Yeah,
my mother,
sure,
my dearly departed
too.
Mother, it was dreadful,
yeah.
Dreadful
time.
For her as well as for awful all
yeah.
around. But
look,
thank you. Yeah, thank you, Margaret. 53106, lads. It's very hard to be an adult and live with your adult parents. It's very hard to be an adult parent and live with your adult children. Dan's on the line. Dan, you say you plan on having your children out of the house at a young age. How are you going to manage that?
How you doing, Ciara? Love the show. For a start, I'm a builder, and I specialise in doing jobs that other people can't do. I do that because how I see things, I see a crack in the wall. I'm not thinking, what kind of filler do I use for that crack? I think what's causing that crack, and it could be something down in the underneath the house that's causing that crack in the ceiling. So that's how I look at every aspect of life. I see the homelessness crisis that we have, everybody saying build more houses, that's just putting filler in the crack, and that's just, I don't know how everybody keeps going on about.
So how do you think you address the foundation of that problem?
Well, the foundation of the problem is what's causing the people to need to rely on this private rented accommodation in the first place, that then they lose and then they end up homeless and all that kind of stuff. I did actually want to talk about the adult children living at home, but I suppose it's all relevant. But just on the homelessness thing real quick, have you ever heard of the Brookings Institute's Three Rules of Prosperity?
No, I don't think so.
Good. It's easy, right? In this crowd, Brookings Institute, based in Washington, in America, they did a big survey across the whole of their country for a long time to try and figure out what's causing poverty. Now, they set up initially, like back in 1919, to try and get rid of the social issues they had in the country, obviously the country being crazy now. But as part of all that, they came up with the Three Rules of Prosperity, which is pretty much guarantees any child from any background to live a prosperous life. And the three rules are very common sense rules, which I kind of live by, and I make sure my kids are going to live by, which is what's going to set them up and get them out of the house early enough, is three rules. One is finish school for as much as available. So renowned third level educations are perfectly achievable by anybody. I'm from a rough enough background. I will be considered severely disadvantaged and all kind of stuff. I struggled through school. I wasn't able to read very well. Just my brain just doesn't work like that. Never diagnosed with anything. I'm just not very good with the written word. So I struggled through school, got the Leaving Cert, went and did a trade, and then carried on. So get your education sorted, and any child around has that available to them because of our system is relatively free, bar the $3,000 a year.
Yeah, okay.
So,
and what are the other two things before we come back to the topic that we're...
The other two things are once you start working, do not leave that job unless you have something else lined up, and make sure you're in a job that has some kind of forward... a ladder to climb, right?
So don't leave one job without having another one and have a career ladder. And what's the last one?
And last one is do not have children before you're married. Now, the married thing is a bit contentious, I know, here, but the marriage is
Before you're in a stable relationship, let's say.
Well, I'm going to say married because it's a legal commitment with somebody, which is a more binding commitment than just agreeing to live together and raise kids.
All right. Okay. So those things will create prosperity, and I can see why they certainly would make you more prosperous, not less prosperous.
Well,
what do you make?
They have statistically done like it. They say.
Yeah. No. I'm sure. But what do you make of our situation where half of our under 30 year olds are living with their mammy and daddy?
Well, they're not following the rules. but anyway, regardless of those rules, prosperity, follow those rules, and it's a path to a much happier, easier life for you and for the children you're going to have. The people living at home at the moment, my idea for that one is, now I'm not going to subscribe to this one because I've got a different plan, but for the people actually living at home with mammy and daddy at the moment, say you've got a 24-year-old, what initially made me text in is that you had somebody that was finished college and everything.
We're going down about 40 rabbit holes. Come here to me. Tell me how you're going to get your kids out of your house, because that's what we want to hear.
Gotcha. All right. Well, there was the woman that had her adult kids living at home, is get them out doing any kind of work at all, take a quarter of the money off them as rent. and tell them I want you to work and work hard. Don't be going on holidays, never mind the new cars. Work and work hard for 1 year and really properly save, and anything you save, I'll double. I'll give you money back to double, and that would be a hand for your deposit. But to use the, so rather than putting the pressure on yourself to save yourself and to give money for them, the money you're taking off them in rent, the quarter of their earnings, just give that back to them. Now, don't tell them you're going to give it all back to them, because then they'll feel entitled to it, and you might not be in a position to give it all back to them. But if you promise them that you were going to double
what you're
their
saying,
savings,
though, Dan, I hear you. But just before I let you go, you're saying give a quarter of your income to your mammy, save everything else. So you're actually saying to people, some of whom in starter jobs, and I know this because I work in the media where it's a kind of a gig economy and people are freelancers, and so people are living on 22 grand and things like that. And you're saying give a quarter of that to mammy, save more. Like how will they eat? How will they run their phone? How will they do anything? If like that's well, you're talking about giving away half your income
manage.
And you're on a low income already.
If they're living on social welfare, they'd manage, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but
if they're living on social welfare, they'd less than 20 grand a year.
I hear you, and you're not wrong. But a lot of people on social welfare wouldn't give half their income away between to the mammy and to the say. It's very difficult. It's not as easy as you're making out.
No, it isn't. Nothing's easy, for Christ's sake. And look, it is about taking personal responsibility. What frustrates me is hearing people going out about how it's the government's fault and how it's society's fault. A person has to tell. I don't know how hard you had to work to get your first home, Ciara, but I know I saved very hard. I lived in a caravan across the garden from my dad's house for a few years. Well, myself and my wife saved up, and then we got into a house, and I'll be mortgage free by the time I'm 52.
I hear you, and you're obviously very driven, and fair play to you, and thank you for that, Dan. Lots of people texting. Someone says, Dan, that lad is in cloud cuckoo land. Many of the people living at home have followed his rules to the letter. They just don't earn enough money. Another one says, Ciara, I'm 27 and I'm living at home with three adult siblings. That's seven of us in one house, plus partners, etc., who are constantly there. I had rented with an ex-girlfriend, but when that relationship broke up, I had to move back home as I couldn't afford the property on my own. To say that's stressful is an understatement. I do not feel like I have space to call my own. It affects my relationships, as I can't bring any girls over due to embarrassment of my living situation and the sheer amount of people in my house. It affects every aspect of my life, including my mental health. I am so frustrated, and I do not feel like I have any options, as I'm only making 32 grand a year. The energy is completely sucked out of me from the stress, and I can't see any other option, but I'm looking into leaving Ireland. And that's from Daryl. Yeah, you see, 32,000 is sort of an average-ish wage, and you're living with seven adults in a house, and you can't get a girlfriend because you're afraid, not afraid, but you don't want to bring them home. I get it. It's not easy. 53106, and Aisling is on the line. Aisling, you're originally from Dublin, but you're now living in Limerick, and you say that people don't have to go abroad to find a decent standard of living. Are you in agreement with Dan?
Well, my point really was in relation to your first caller, also Aisling, who was saying that her adult children were considering moving abroad because they couldn't afford to live in Ireland. But my point is that I've lived in Limerick for 20 years, and that there are plenty of jobs in Limerick in certain sectors. The cost of housing is maybe half what it is in Dublin. You can rent a nice apartment, a nice three-bedroom house for maybe €1,200 a month. And there are plenty of jobs here. Your commute time in Limerick, you can get from any part of the city to any other part for maybe 30 minutes.
So no, I hear you. So you're saying you don't have to go to London, you don't have to go to Paris or New York or South Korea or Edinburgh or anywhere. You could go to Limerick. And indeed, I'm sure, I mean, Cork is cheaper than Dublin, Galway is cheaper. So maybe think not outside the country, but outside the pale is what you're saying.
That's exactly it. Yeah, Cork, Limerick, Galway. I believe you can't get software engineers in this part of the country.
There you are. I don't know. Oh. I don't know what's what, but I'm sure there is work there. And have you built a good life down there as a dub down in Munster?
Absolutely. I'm a Munster supporter now rather than a Leinster supporter.
You're a turncoat. You're like my brother. He lives in Waterford and supports Munster. We despise him for it. If you're listening,
yes.
Declan, we don't really despise you. But so you're dyed in the wool Munster now.
Absolutely. I've lived here for 20 years. And as I said, I was born and raised in Dublin. I moved out of Dublin maybe in my mid-20s. And I have a very nice lifestyle here. I wouldn't move back to Dublin now for anything.
Yeah. If you were to move back to Dublin on whatever earning you have or you and your partner have, would you have a very different lifestyle in Dublin than you would in Limerick?
Yes, certainly. Say if we sold our house and bought one in Dublin, we would be looking at a much smaller house. Depending on where you were working, obviously commute times, lifestyles, schooling, would be much more difficult. As I said, here, you know, we have a very nice lifestyle, live in a very nice home, have very little traffic, good schools, good recreational opportunities, etc.
Makes a lot of sense. I can see entirely what you mean. Like, you live in a bigger house and you probably have the Shannon or Loch Derg or something on your doorstep, and you have less of a commute and less of all the congestion and I suppose the grind that goes with Dublin. Yeah, makes an awful lot of sense. Thank you for speaking to us. 53106, what do you think? What do you think about the fact that we have one of the highest rates of young adults living at home? We're up there with Luxembourg, which is a very expensive country, and Romania, which is quite a poor country. But I think the same thing exists across the board. It's places where it's not affordable for whatever reason to move out, and we're one of those countries now. 53106, what do you make of it?
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.